Blog Talk Radio.
Without your blood being shed,
without your death, burial, resurrection, without us putting our faith, our total trust in you, there is no relationship with God. There's no relationship or redemption from our sins. Lord, we thank you. May I decrease, and we decrease, and may you increase in us, and may the word of God have authority right now in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Amen, amen. 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468, call in. Like I said, today's message will be greed, covetousness, and the fool, a wise dealing with the rich man, and the rich man and the fool. So also, I want to say a quick announcement. If you're looking for a Bible teaching church and you're in the Lost Church and you're in the Los Angeles area, please check us out at Core Church LA, Core Church of LA. You can go to the website www.corechurchla.org, www.corechurchla.org. Continue to pray for me, pray for the ministry, pray for what God is doing. May he elevate us in 2017, all of us. We be elevated in our walk, in our worship, in our praise, in our attitude, in our lifestyle. And we all be elevated in spiritual maturity in those areas as we grow in the word of God. Amen. So I want to just encourage you. And again, like I said this morning, if you didn't catch this morning's message, what was the purpose? What is our purpose in life? Or what is the meaning of life? Or why are we here? Please go back and check out the archive on Facebook Live. You can see the archive of the message that I did this morning about 3:30 this morning. We talked about our purpose being we were created to glorify God and for his good pleasure. There's two reasons why we're here: to glorify God, and we were created for his good pleasure. We were saved for his good pleasure. He didn't just create us just to do what we wanted to do. He created us for a mission, and that mission was to bring him glory, and for his good pleasure, we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. God wants to use us as tools and instruments to bring him glory and to be his hands and feet down here. So if you're not doing that, friends, you're not living for Christ. You're not living for Christ. That's what we want to constantly emphasize. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Obedience to Christ makes living holy makes you a Christian. Walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, that means you are a Christian. But all that other God talk with no walk and no fruit produced in your life, it's just nothing but a bunch of yak. Having lips, moving your mouth, and nothing's coming out. Nothing of substance anyway. So let's get into our lesson. Let's get into this lesson. What does it mean? What does it mean? Greed, covetousness, and the fool. Jesus taught a great moral truths by using great human tragedies. One such episode is in the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12, 16 through 21. Also, it says, like many of us, this man nobly earned an honest living through hard work and toil. But unfortunately, like many of us, he failed to realize that God was the source of his blessing. In Acts 14:15 through 16, he tells us, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions, like with you, and preach unto you that you should turn those vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are in them, or therein. Who in time past, suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Verse 17, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Speaking of what God did for the Old Testament patriarchs in the Old Covenant, how he blessed their land. He would give them rain when they needed. So you have to understand this was agorical nation or a time when land was the biggest produce of wealth. The more land you had, the more crops you had, the more cows and all the things you had. That's why Job was a rich man. He had much, but he was also rich in faith because he trusted God. He never lost his faith towards God, even when God stripped him of everything. So we have to understand, friends, that God desires holiness over abundance of wealth. Without God, it leaves you spiritually bankrupt. You really don't have nothing to boast about. Just saying how much money you got. The world might boast in them. You say, oh, man, I wish I could be like Mark Cuban. Or I wish I could be like those billionaires or those millionaires and people all over the world that are, you know, got it. And look at most of them. They don't know God. They don't know God because greed and covetousness is their lifestyle. It's all about how much money they can make. And the church is bought into the lie. The church has become a fool, seeking after riches on this earth, looking for the things of this earth. And God has told us in his word that you cannot get to heaven with your bag and baggage of wealth. You're not going to get there. You're not going to get into the kingdom of God chasing after the almighty dollar. You must have Christ and Christ alone. Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Continue to do it. Why do people in the church, those who claim to be part of the bride, claim to be part of the ecclesia, continue to chase after riches? Look, friends, we all know we need money, but are we so consumed with chasing after money that money has become a god to us? Have we bought into the lie of some of these televangelists and these so-called prophets who are out to make a profit? Philippians 4:19 says, "If my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, did he say he will supply and make you rich? No. Did he say he will supply and make you the wealthiest man on earth? Was you going to be wealthier than Solomon? No, not going to be wealthier than Solomon. And there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But remember what he said back here in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. The word serve there means to be a slave, a doulos. Just like we are a slave to Jesus, we're a doulos. We're bond servants to Jesus Christ. We're no longer slaves to this world, slaves to our flesh, and slaves to the devil. We are to be slaves to Jesus Christ alone. Not even the government. Too many people are chasing after the almighty dollar or trying to serve the other guy, the other master, money, greed, covetousness, idolatry. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Jesus makes it very clear that we're not to lay our treasures down here, not to be pursuing those things down here. You find these so-called prosperity pimps who preach a message of wealth and gain. And if you're not getting what you, if you're not getting what they already got, and they got it from you, they didn't get it from God. God didn't give them that. They took it from you. They strong-armed you. They got you believing the lie that if you give them more, you'll be blessed more. Of course, they don't say giving them more. They say if you give it to God, then you'll be blessed more. But look who's getting blessed. They're the ones that's reaping the profits of your money, your wealth. Dangers of riches, my brothers and sisters. Dangers. You need to be like, you need to think about Lost in Space. Danger, 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 Will Robinson. No, danger, sons and daughters of God. When you listen to false teachers who promise you success and wealth down here on earth, when God tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt us. Because the moment that we start to seek for things on this earth, when the Bible clearly tells us this is not our home, so we should not be trying to get comfortable down here. We should not be trying to get so consumed with this world when this world is passing away. And one day we're going to go to glory. One day we're going to see God face to face. That's what we should be seeking for. Again, in Luke 12, chapter 13, we see here where Jesus condemns, denounces covetousness. It should not be a part of any believer's life. If you think you won't go to hell because of covetousness and greed and idolatry, friends, you will be right there, because that's deception. The Bible says, do not be deceived. You will not enter. Though there are people that will not enter. These are the people that will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Covetous. Those who are covetousness. They're practicing greed. They're practicing deception. They're trying to get all they can down here. They can't take it with them to hell. Can't take it with them to heaven. Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? Verse 15, then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. In other words, you could be a multi-billionaire or you could be the poorest man on this earth. Your life does not consist on what you have and don't have. Not in the material world. Your life is consumed about who you are in Christ. That's what matters most. Are you a child of Jesus Christ? Are you a servant, a doulos to righteousness and holiness? He says again in verse 15, then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Well, not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. In verse 16, and he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do? Since I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods. Lay up for many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. Excuse me. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as what you will put on. For your life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. Father knows that you need these things, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, and unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. lot here. There's a lot here. But we're just going to cover 3 points here, 3 points of this parable, because so much meat in here, and we could go on and on and on, and I want us to grab the gist of this. First, we learn the importance of giving God due glory. The man greedily harvests his abundance without recognizing God as the ultimate source of every good and perfect gift. There have been many people that built empires. Many people have built their companies and their businesses without God, friends. And it's a matter of time before God starts to make it tumble from the top to the bottom. There is no place secure in this world without God. There's no business secure without God. He can build you up. He can tear you down. James 1:17 tells us this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He was too concerned, this rich man was too concerned about where he would put his goods. This attitude led him to a disposition of selfish thinking and spiritual inactivity. A similar episode is seen in Daniel 5 when King Belshazzar failed to glorify God for his great kingdom. For this failure, he was found spiritually wanting. Daniel 5:27 says this, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." James warns about those who live presumptuously before the God of heaven and then go so far as to make further plans for prosperity, saying, "We will go, we will continue, we will profit." James 4:13 says, "Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year from now and buy and sell and get gain." Verse 16 tells us, "But now you rejoice in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil." Huh. You got plans? You making plans? You may be saying, "Hey, in 10 years from now I'm going to do such and such," but you don't say, "If it's the Lord's will, how you know you're going to be here 10 minutes from now? 10 seconds from now, how you know you're not going to be a poor person living under a bridge 10 years from now? We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We only can say, if it's the Lord's will, if the Lord says this and says that for my life, then I can do those things. But if I leave him out, I'm out. I'm out." He explains that we are to view our physical increase in light of God's will, saying, "If the Lord wills, we should do this or that." The rich fool failed to give the glory to the God who created him, God Almighty, by using his physical good in spiritual service. Ah, friends, how many people, how many athletes, how many people are boasting? How many people have left the NBA, the NFL, or NHL, or any of baseball? They were one time multimillionaires, and then years later they're broke, busted, and disgusted. Because why? They forgot to give God the honor and the glory, not only for the wealth and the success, but for the talent, for the very talent that they had. You can't ride on high forever without God. Eventually, your cloud will become a storm cloud, a rain cloud, a tsunami. Sad to say, but it happens. Look at some of the NBA greats who owe millions of dollars in back child support because they were foolish with their money. They were foolish. They thought they could do all these things and just shake their fist and turn their nose up to the holy God who created them. Secondly, we learn that God views our lives in terms of spiritual increase, not physical increase. The Lord promises to give good gifts to his children. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? However, the Lord expects much more from those who have been greatly blessed. Luke 12:48 says, "But he that knew not and did not commit these things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. The five talents of the man in Matthew 25 was not rewarded because he had many talents, but because he used them to God's glory. Excuse me. Let me say that again. The five talent man of the Matthew 25 was not rewarded because he had many talents, but because he used them to God's glory. The one talent man was considered wicked and lazy because he failed to produce the increase possible through the talent that was given him. Matthew 25:26 says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knewest thou that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not straw. In the same way, the rich fool had not used his goods for growth, and they would eventually waste away in his bigger barn. Luke 12:18 tells us, and he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns, bigger barns, and they will be there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Are you trying to tear down bigger, to build up, to stockpile, to hoard, to get those things that your neighbor doesn't have? Are you trying to get the things that the world is telling you is valuable? Moreover, the things that God says is a treasure, like his word, his wisdom, his understanding, his mercy, his grace. See, God wants us to have the spiritual. He wants us to know him and the power of his resurrection. Because with that, you can be rich in Christ and you can be a wise man who built up his foundation on the solid rock. A wise man and a wise woman will live a godly life no matter how financially poor they might be. They will walk with God forever, all the way into eternity. The same way the rich fool had not used his goods for growth, they would eventually waste away in his bigger barns. If he would have given them to the poor, the Lord would have given him much more. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. It's not about giving a tithe to the church. It's about giving a tithe. Maybe your brother got a need to need groceries. Maybe your family is going through. The body of Christ is the church. And when you give to them, you give to God. It's not about what you put in the offering plate. Did you bless somebody? Maybe a brother came, say, hey, man, I'm falling short this week. I need some grocery money. I need some financial help. Can you help me out? If you know their character, you know what they're about, you should be able to open your hands and say, you don't say, well, I can't give because I've got to give my 10% to God. Well, you just missed your blessing, brother and sister. When you give to the least of them, you gave to him. Remember, Jesus told us in Matthew 25 how important it was for us to be his hands and feet down here. He said, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in jail, you visited me. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. You don't send them off, brother, I'm just going to pray for you. Not love? And that's not big. That's not good measure pressed down. Shake it. Got it all twisted in this new American theology. This new American Christianity has become, oh, I got to give to the church. The church is anybody who is born again of the Spirit who has a need. You just bless them. You bless God when you bless them. This is the increase that God desires in each one of us. Let us learn this wise lesson and not waste our opportunities for the spiritual growth. Last point, number three. Thirdly, and most importantly, we learn of the grievous sin of covetousness. The Lord began the lesson with the admonition to beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance he possesses. Luke 12:15 tells us this, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You know, we got a new incoming president. I don't know his heart. I don't know nothing about his heart. I tell you one thing I do know. I do know that God will expose his heart. You know, he's been known to be greedy, covetous. We need to pray for him. He's the commander-in-chief, the upcoming, the new part of the new administration. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15 that we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for governing officials, whether you like them personally or not. You can't hate him as a Christian. You must love him and pray for his family, and you pray that he does well, because if he does well, guess what? We succeed. We benefit from that. And I'm praying that the Christian people around him are praying for him and over him and keeping him in right perspective. That's what I'm called to do. That's what we're all called to do as a body of Christ. Not Rome. We're not going to take up swords and go make a king for ourselves. We need to be about God's business. But notice this, there's a lot of greedy people in this world, a lot of people that stand up and beat their chest because they got money. They don't have peace. They don't have no peace, friend. They don't sleep well. Full of all kinds of anxiety because they're constantly worried about if they're going to lose what they got. If what they got is their God. This is the main abundance of the things he possesses, Luke 12:15. I mean, this is the main failure of the rich fool. He was guilty of what may be the worst form of covetousness. He coveted his own good. First he sold, he reaped, and then he put it in a barn and he coveted it. His stuff. Look at my car, my plane, my house, my. But it's never, look at the God who gave me this. The God who gave me the ability to make wealth. There's a lot of people that have been blessed that they were able to make wealth. And guess what? They don't acknowledge the King who gave them the ability to make that wealth. Not all believers are going to be the ones that make wealth. There's unbelievers, wretched sinners that make wealth. Not all Christians are doctors or lawyers. There's some wicked, ungodly sinners out there that's doctors and lawyers. We need to get this in our spiritual mind that God is using people and wants us to reach out to the old. Just because you're rich don't mean you got it all. Because if without Christ, you're spiritually bankrupt. This man who had all his wealth was spiritually bankrupt. He needed a revival. He needed to know the King of Glory. What happens? Again, he tells us, this is the main failure of the rich fool. He was guilty of what may be the worst form of covetousness. He coveted his own good. Instead of using them to relieve the hunger of the needy, to clothe the bodies of the poor, and to comfort the sick, Matthew 25:42-43. And he says, for when I was hungry and you gave me no meat, I was thirsty and you gave me no drink, I was a stranger and you took me not in, I was naked and you didn't clothe me, I was sick and not in prison, and you didn't visit me. Yes, friends. Jesus says, well, we do that to any one of those. We do that to the least of them. We've done it to him. You won't find too many rich people. You know, maybe around on Thanksgiving and Christmas, they throw out a couple of bones your way. They throw some scraps your way. But I'm talking about consistently. See, the rich man doesn't brag about what he gives. He just gives. He gives, and he gives with a gracious heart. The one that wants to be seen by man, he stands up and says, look at me. Look at me, Lord. Look at what I got. Here's my envelope for $1,000 a day. See, we don't see nowhere in the Bible that envelopes is part of the rest of people giving. The Bible clearly tells you, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't worry about who sees. The pastor, it's not his duty. It's not his business to know how much you gave. God knows what you're giving, and he knows what you're hoarding. He knows where you're covetous. He knows where you're greedy. Not nobody's business. what you gave. As long as you and God know that you're giving and you're a faithful steward of the money that he's giving you, he knows if you're giving you 10%. He knows if you're giving more. He knows your heart is right, too. And they don't get no reward for that. Look, you can give $1 million a year to a church or a charity, and it might bless somebody, but without Jesus in your life, you bless other people, but you ain't blessed. You're not blessed. Notice here again, he says, he hoarded his goods to himself and sought to take his own comfort. Luke 12:19 says this, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and drink and be merry. Is that what the rich do? Is that what they do now? They popping bottles. Oh, they talk about God, friends, but the God they talk about is a God of, you know, it's that God of greed and covetous and idolatry. That God allowed you to do whatever you want to do, sleep with whoever you want to sleep with, get drunk, get high, be the biggest pervert that you want to be. And because you gave your little few pennies out, you think you've done something, but you're going to bust hell wide open, my friend, because God cannot be bought. But whatever a man soweth, he will also reap. He will also reap. The Lord correctly designates him as a fool. Luke 12:20 tells us this. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which you possessed or have, which thou hast provided? I never seen a U-Haul follow the hearse to the grave, and they dump your stuff in there when they put your body in there. Never. And even if I did, I wouldn't believe that stuff going to stay there, because before nightfall, they're going to dig it up and take off everything worth value. More greedy people, more covetous people going to come right along and snatch up your stuff. When you die, with all your toys here, they live here. You don't take them into heaven with you. They don't go to glory with you. You don't take your stereo. You don't take your Rolls Royce Bentley. You don't take your caddy. You don't take none of it. You don't even take your bra. Your bra, your panties. You don't take none of that. You die. If you're a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord immediately. The unbeliever will be waiting for his judgment day. His or her judgment day. They will be waiting because it's over, friends. Once you give up the ghost near, once you leave earth, if you didn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if he was not master and ruler of your life, unlike this rich fool, your life is gone. The only thing you're waiting for is the final destination, which is your new home, hell. But not one of us is going to get into heaven with greed and covetous in our heart. It's not that big of a deal. You know, God wants me to be rich. He wants me to prosper. He wants me to have things. And we've already covered the fact that having nice things is not a sin. But when those things have you, oh, yeah, it's a sin. Because you can't be talked to when you're chasing after the things of this world, the pleasures of the riches of deceitfulness, the cares of this world. You can't be talked to. You can't be counseled or reasoned with. People that love sin, whatever sin they have that has a stronghold on them, every time you try to minister to them with the word, the first thing they snatch out their pocket, because that's the only scripture they seem to know, is Matthew 7. Judge not, lest ye be judged. That's their favorite reference. And God already has an answer for that. Because he tells us that believers will stand on the judgment throne. We will be judging When we come back after the tribulation period, friends, we come back as judge and jury with God Almighty, with Jesus Christ. We're going to judge this world one day. So I think you would rather me tell you the truth today, that it might bring you out of darkness, bring you out of the pig pen of sin, bring you out of covetousness and greed, and come into a relationship with Jesus, than for me to keep silent and let you bust hell wide open and go to hell. How can I say I love you if I don't tell you the truth? How can I say I love you if I let you worship the things of this world and neglect the one who gave us the ability to worship, the one who has called us to worship him in spirit and in truth? Again, we see here his goods may have been comforting for his physical life, but his misuse of them proved his perdition in the afterlife. So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Luke 12:21. Oh, don't think he didn't have opportunity. Don't think he didn't have the opportunity to repent. God was not unmerciful. He knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he chose the ways of this world. He chose the God of this world who had blinded his mind and heart and caused him to stray after those things. Would not bring him prosperity. So you can think you have all the prosperity that's going to fade away. You can think you can have it. You can think you have all that. Notice again, my friends, what he says about the danger of riches. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. You know anybody like that, friends? You know anybody that was on fire for God? You know anybody that loved God with all their heart and they swore up and down they would never leave him or forsake him, and then something came along and then it drew them right back out into the world, and next thing you know, when you go to talk to him, well, I don't want to hear nothing about that Jesus. Or the deception. And then God is cool. That's my dog. That's my homie. All kinds. For I do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Are you working to be rich? Are you consumed with all the overtime you can get? The boss will give you 90 to 100 hours a week if you want it, just so Uncle Sam can take most of it. No, he's going to get his. No, you made $5,000 in 1 week, but you only took home three. Do the math. But you put in 100 hours of overtime. Not good. He says, do not toil to acquire wealth. He says, be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Matthew 13:22. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful. Think wealth is what God really wants for you, the wealth of this world? Think he really wants you to chase after wealth? Be consumed with making money, how to get bigger houses, more cars? You realize that God has had to take a back seat to all your shenanigans because all about the almighty dollar. Remember what Jesus said. Remember what he said back here? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. clear as truth, they can most rich people. When they're serving God, they can give freely, they can give without the rest, they can give and bless others. They're not consumed with how much money they're going to have at the end. They're only consumed about pleasing God. But look at the ones that's covetous and greed. They're so afraid to lose at the $100. They go to sleep wondering who's going to come and take their empire away. So, I tell you what, God doesn't have to necessarily take your empire. All he has to do is just take your life like he did to this rich fool. He told him today, your soul would be required of you. Will God say that to you or me? Will we ever go to sleep and wake up, or we have a dream and God has spoken to us and told us that today our soul would be required of us because we were greedy and covetous and full of idolatry? I pray that not be. I pray that not be the case. Pray that we would look at ourselves in the mirror and see, really ask the question, who are we? We can learn these wise lessons from the foolish man, but what is more important is applying these lessons to our everyday lives. Like the Lord said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them, John 13:17. James states, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, him it is sin, James 4:17. Friends, nobody has to go to hell. People choose to go to hell because they reject the love of the truth that they might be saved. They reject the unction and the message of the cross because they refuse to surrender because of pride, to greed and covetousness. Not worth your soul. I minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California, and you've just been blessed by the word. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for enlightening us to not chase after the almighty dollar, but to chase after the almighty Lord. And we need to put our faith in you and you alone. So, Lord, if we're honest, Lord, we know that we can't handle $2,000, let alone $2 million. Lord, if we're not ever ready to handle it, Lord, don't ever give it to us. Don't ever give us things that would cause us to turn away from you. We know you love us too much to allow that to happen, Lord. Sometimes we beg for things that we know we don't need. We pray for things we know we shouldn't have. Pray that this message would minister to many who might have a problem with chasing after the almighty dollar. That they would put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So they won't never make any provision for their flesh. They will never pursue after covetousness and greed. But we thank you, we praise you, and bless you. We pray that this message will sweet-smelling aroma in your nostrils this evening. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and say amen, amen, and amen. Well, friends, thank you for your time. Thank you for being here today. I see you there, Sister Rhonda, Brother Brian. God bless each and every one of you. I pray that this would just keep us on guard, on our tiptoes as we get into 2017. You know, you hear a lot of false teachers around this time of the year. They want to get you to sow into their ministries, promising you, you know, a year of jubilee. Every year is a year of jubilee. And using all kinds of scripture to manipulate and bring false doctrine and try to get you to sow into their ministries. Well, why would you sow into a ministry that's begging you and trying to profit off of your foolishness and ignorance of God's word? I don't beg people. I ask people if they want to donate, to donate to the GoFundMe account. It's up to you. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart. You never see me beat nobody up with promising you this and promising you things that God don't promise. What God has promised us, friends, is eternal life, and he promised us in heaven. In heaven, we'll have our riches. Now, we will not promise that. All we'll promise is eternal life. That's what we should be pursuing. We should be seeking eternal life. What the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I want to just encourage you with those words. Again, friends, I want to just thank you for spending time with us today in the word. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. May you, for those that would like to follow me, you can follow me on Facebook Live at Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me at Twitter at dkendricksr65@gmail.com. Follow me at, dkendricksr@gmail.com. Again, Twitter is dkendricksr65. That's Twitter. Twitter. And then you also got me on Blog Talk Radio at Minister Big Ken 65. Catch over 650 messages on there, including this one right now. Go back and listen in the archive. But continue to just pray for me, pray for my health. Pray that God will continue to bring healing, use me for his glory every day that I come here to bring the word. And I pray that this message has ministered to you as well as me. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless.